This episode is brought to you by IVP. Use promo code IVPHEAR40, that's IVPHEAR40, at ivpress.com for 40% off and free shipping on any resources mentioned in this episode.
I'm Tara Beth Leach, and this episode is sponsored by Northern Seminary, where I earned a Master's of Divinity so proudly. Did you know that Northern Seminary has been enrolling women since the beginning? Our first student in 1913 was Amy Lee Stockton, a total legend. She went on to become one of the nation's leading evangelists, reaching thousands for Christ. And since then, we have equipped thousands of women to serve as pastors, practitioners, church planters, and ministry leaders across the globe. We believe that the church cannot live into her fullness without women developing their gifts and living out their call to leadership. Northern has flexible programs, world-class faculty, and a diverse community, and we empower the church to grow the gospel and live with unwavering allegiance to Jesus' kingdom. Your calling matters. Take the next step and visit northernseminary.edu to learn more.
This is IVP.
Welcome to Hear Women from InterVarsity Press, where we listen to the voices of women for the good of the church. We're your hosts, Dorina Lazo Gilmer-Young and Tara Beth Leach.
It was an ordinary Tuesday morning in West Palm Beach, Florida, for a 45-year-old wife and mother named Melanie Sanders, until she discovered she was out of her ashwagandha supplement.
She was about to race out of the house to get more when she caught herself in the mirror wearing decades-old sports bra, mismatching socks, and she did not care.
So she recorded an honest, raw, impassioned video and announced she was creating a new space for perimenopausal and menopausal women called the We Do Not Care Club. And then she shared that video.
This post became a viral sensation on Instagram and TikTok as tens of thousands of women began commenting with their own frustrations about this life stage. And very quickly, Melanie's social media following ballooned to more than 2 million followers.
Melanie had tapped into the reality that countless women on any given day wrestle with, but haven't been able to adequately express. And the church has a lot to learn from women like Melanie, who have begun to break the silence on the realities of menopause.
So today you'll hear from myself and Dorina as we share about our own experiences with this special phase of life in hopes that it will help your understanding and that of the church as well. Well, Dorina, this is a fun and unique topic for the Hear Women podcast, as today we are talking about perimenopause and menopause. And actually, this came up because when we were recording our very first episode, you and I started bonding over this. We started talking about the woes of perimenopause. I'm at the beginning. I'm about a year in. I'm 43 years old. Dorina, you're?
I'm 48.
Yeah, okay. I know every woman starts at different times. I have convinced myself that 43 feels way too young to be going through this, but I don't know. I know that perimenopause can last up to a decade. And so I think about my mom, and she was officially in menopause and out of perimenopause on the day of my wedding, and she was 55 years old. So that's kind of why I feel like a little frustrated. I feel so young to be going through this, but so we are going to talk all about perimenopause and menopause. And it seems like this has been growing a lot more attention, which I've been really grateful because there's a lot of influencers on social media that have been giving me language. And sometimes I'll even send them to my husband to help like grow awareness to him. Like, see, I'm not crazy. I'm not emotionally unstable. I'm not losing my mind. I'm not, you know, all these things, because I feel like sometimes when someone else says it for me, that's helpful. So we hope that both our women listeners and our male listeners will lean in, because this is a real phenomenon that women do go through, and it's growing attention on women's experience. And I wonder, Dorina, why do you think it is? Like, why are people talking about it more often since maybe since like our mother's generation. I don't know if my mom talked about this or generations before, but we're starting to normalize what it is that women are going through.
Yeah, it's something that I have thought about a lot as well. And I wondered, you know, why do we have this conversation happening? I think some of what's being discovered medically is, you know, why people are talking about it. And so there's, you know, new studies and there's people who are studying specifically perimenopause and menopause and writing books. But also, I do believe because we have social media, there is this opportunity to kind of share an experience that then becomes universal. Mm-hmm. So we have people like Melanie Sanders, who has the We Do Not Care Club, and she made this accidental video that went viral.
She puts such a fun spin on things and kind of draws out the humor, which I love so much.
Yeah, and I think there's something really wonderful when we can laugh and we can share those videos with our, you know, our husbands or our girlfriends, and also at the same time acknowledge, hey, this is real. I am not crazy in my brain. Like, these symptoms, these things are happening. And then we have others. I've been very influenced by some doctors who have been talking about this more and more and doing a lot more research. So learning from people like Dr. Mary Claire Haver from The Pause Life, and she has her whole community. She has several books. She's been on Oprah. And I'm just realizing that we have this conversation that's going on online, which also, I think, informs real in-person conversation that I'm having, at least in my community, and questions that I'm able to ask of my, you know, doctors and practitioners.
Yeah, so good. Because at least for me, when I started going through this, I actually did not understand that it was perimenopause. It was so confusing for me. And really for me, what the earlier symptoms was the night sweats, which I still experience. And interestingly, like I have figured out the pattern in my night sweats. It's, you know, so my cycle is anywhere from 28 days to 34 days. And typically around day 24, 25 is when the night sweats start and when the restlessness starts and when the poor sleep starts. And I did some research on this, and there's like medical like reasons why that is happening with estrogen and testosterone and just all of those things that causes your body to have extra adrenaline at night when you're sleeping. And so I would wake up. I mean, I would have to change my pajamas, you know, change my sheets every single morning, you know, from day 25, and sometimes lasts up to 10 days. And the sleep is horrible. And I wear this Oura ring, and you know, the Oura ring, you know, always at the end of the month, it's always telling me there's major symptoms going on in your body. I'm like, you think? you know, and so, you know, then the lack of sleep and then the emotional swings. And so I actually thought like something was much more serious wrong with me. You know, my goodness, is my liver failing? Do I have cancer? And because I thought, you know, at the time I was 42, I thought, how could I possibly be going through perimenopause? And I also wasn't educated. I did not understand that there's a difference between perimenopause and menopause, that you only go through menopause for like a window, like a moment in time, as I understand it. It's, you know, and then when you stop having a cycle for a year, boom, you're postmenopausal. And perimenopause can last for years. And so I think it's just been challenging and surprising. And then, you know, Dorena, I don't know about you, but, you know, then when I started to understand that this was perimenopause, then I went through this whole emotional wave, this grief and this lament, realizing, wait, my body is aging. I'm moving out of the window where I will be no longer be able to reproduce, where I will no longer be able to have children. And I'm far past the window. My oldest is 15. My youngest is 13. We made the decision years ago that we would not have children, but there's still a loss of youthfulness. And then it just brought me to this feeling of, what does this mean? Does this mean I'm no longer a woman? Like, what does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to be female biologically? And, you know, and then even I started to spiral because my husband and I have always had a pretty wonderful romantic life and intimate life. And, you know, that starts to change and that starts to shift. And I just went through this really grief of what does it mean then to be woman, to be female? And I wonder for you, Dorina, you know, what has been challenging or surprising for you personally as, you know, you've become aware of your symptoms, and what does that mean for you as a woman?
Those are some good reflections, and I think good questions for all of us to ask. And it's unique for each of us, but I think it's important for us to talk about. So for me, it's interesting, you know, part of my background, a couple things inform this. First of all, I am the mom of three girls. And so my girls are 14, 16, and 19. And I feel this responsibility as mom of girls, also to continue talking to my girls about health for females and the female body. And so I'm constantly like having these conversations with them about even articulating what's happening in my body, because I don't want them to be surprised. To your point earlier, part of my history is that my mom had a hysterectomy when she was younger because she needed to. You know, that's part of her health history. But I actually don't then have, you know, even a time frame of her going through menopause naturally, like you were describing. And so at this point, at age 48, you know, it was different for her. So I don't even have that really to go back on necessarily. But I think also because part of my history also is that I'm an athlete. I'm a runner. I coach athletes. I coach track and field. And so as I'm also pouring into young women, you know, so much of what we deal with as athletes also is affecting my mental and emotional health, because I realize, okay, all the things that I have done for all these years to stay in shape, to stay fit, not obsessive about my weight, but I've never, you know, had to deal with that personally as being a problem or an issue. Those things have all changed now. And in fact, some of the ways that I have taken care of my body for my mental health and physical health now could possibly be something that is not helpful to me in perimenopause, which is a little frightening because I don't know exactly where those fault lines are. So I think I also have experienced some of that grief that you're talking about. Grief in asking myself, what does it mean to be a woman? Also grief in asking myself, you know, what does it look like to be physically fit and to be able to enjoy exercise and working out and even having activity where I get to be with my athletes and be with my daughters and be with my husband. My energy level has changed. And so there's a grief that comes along with that. Also, you know, eating, needing to eat things differently and try to understand, you know, what food can I put into my body that's helpful for me in this season of life. And I feel like there's also a lot of conflicting information that's out there. So it's kind of like, okay, well, who am I going to believe today when each of our bodies are unique?
Absolutely. There's so much conflicting information, especially when it comes to how we fuel our bodies. Oh my goodness. That one has been a challenge for me as well, because I think everybody is different, you know, what your body needs and how your body reacts to different eating patterns and different foods. And I wonder if we were to back this up just even a little bit and think about this theologically. I you know, in preparing for this episode, I just did some thinking and wondering about what does God think about this? You know, because we know that in Scripture, childbirth is a big deal, right? God comes into the world through a mother's womb, through Mary's womb. And, you know, we even see with the Advent narrative, not just Mary's womb, but we have this incredible moment where Elizabeth, who we don't, is she postmenopausal? You know, who knows? It's hard to know, but the Bible tells us that she's old in her age, right? So is she postmenopausal? What's going on? Is this a, you know, truly miracle? And, you know, there's this beautiful moment with these two pregnant women, the cousins, they come together and, you know, Elizabeth sees Mary walking through the door and it says that her womb leapt, you know, and then we see Mary, and there's so many other different instances. And I wonder, you know, for me, like I started thinking about, like, what does that mean theologically? What does God think about this? And I wonder if you've had any reflections there.
Yeah, it's interesting too as we look at scripture, because like you said, we have these many examples where women were barren and named as such, and then they have this miraculous thing that happens that feels like it was granted from God. And I feel like I'm still wrestling with it. I'm still trying to work it out. But what I do believe I see in scripture, and I believe for myself, is that God cares deeply about women. He created us on purpose. And some of the pressure that we feel perhaps in 2026 in the United States of America around beauty and around age and around, you know, body types, that's very much culturally influenced. It's not a theology that's unfolded in scripture.
Right.
So I have to really almost train my mind to go back to, okay, what is my theology about women? And even if I go back to Genesis, like, women were created as azers, that they were created as these helpers and warriors and with our own unique types of gifting. And that means, you know, the way that our bodies work too.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I was thinking about as well, Darina. You know, we are created beings. We are embodied. We live our faith in our bodies. And, you know, the reality is we do live in a broken and fallen world. And this is the direction, this is the propensity of decay. You know, Romans chapter 8 talks about the groaning that has happened in creation. And so I wonder, you know, one of the questions that women often ask when they're in perimenopause is, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And I wonder if a different question could be, what's happening in me? You know, a kinder way to think about it, because we are still, we still embody our faith in our bodies, even in menopause. And we see this especially in Elizabeth and in Sarah, you know, with Abraham and others, where their faith is embodied even post-menopause. And so God doesn't need our youthfulness. God doesn't need our ability to reproduce for us to be effective. And in fact, when you look throughout scripture, a lot of the, you know, great leaders were those who were later in life, you know? So there's excitement about this next chapter. There's a wisdom about this. And, you know, I think oftentimes, you know, where my heart is with so many women that are perimenopause is they're like, what's wrong with me? You know, and we're really hard on ourselves, but we're still created beings. We're still daughters of the King. We're still children of God. And so maybe a better way would be to take the posture of curiosity of what's happening in my body.
And it reminds me again of that narrative with Mary and the posture that Mary takes when she finds out that she is going to be the womb for God, mm-hmm. that she's curious, mm-hmm. and she's paying attention. So I feel like she's asking that question. I love the way that you framed it. How's this to be? You know, yeah, what is happening here in my body? And maybe even in this season of life, we can follow in her footsteps in asking that same question of ourselves with curiosity and with grace. Instead of that accusatory voice that I think sneaks in, that's what's wrong with you? Why are you so tired? You know, why are you gaining this weight? And we can't just beat our bodies into submission, because the same things don't work anymore.
Welcome to All Ears, the segment of the show where you'll hear from IVP staff who've been tuning in to today's episode. Together, we come alongside you in each episode to reflect on these meaningful discussions and the fantastic books they remind us of. I'm Christine, and as always, I'm here with my coworkers, Rainer and Amanda.
I think the three of us have a lot to learn about this episode's topic, since we're millennial Gen Z age range. But something I really appreciate about Darina and Tara Beth's conversation is their vulnerability in sharing their experiences with menopause. it's not a subject I hear a lot about, and at times it can kind of feel taboo, even though menopause has been experienced by women since the dawn of time.
I agree. It was really enlightening for me to hear about the challenges the women experience throughout adulthood and the ways that the churches often let these challenges go unaddressed.
While not all of us experience menopause in particular, we all do experience seasons of change and transition in some form. And two questions that can arise during seasons like that are, one, why is change so hard? And two, where is God amid these changes? And these are precisely the questions that Courtney Ellis seeks to explore in her book, Weathering Change.
Yeah, Weathering Change invites us to discover how God equips us to navigate life's inevitable changes. Courtney offers rich spiritual reflections from God's created world and from Scripture that help us prepare for change and show us how to journey through it with curiosity, adaptability, and resilience. That's something I hope for myself.
Yeah, and I think we hope for that for all of our listeners. So if you need a companion amid a season of transition, make sure to check out the show notes and you'll find a special discount for Weathering Change that you can use at ivypress.com. And let's keep listening to hear more from Darina and Tara Beth.
You're listening to Hear Women from InterVarsity Press.
We're your hosts, Darina Lazo Gilmore Young and Tara Beth Leach.
Absolutely. And instead, embrace this journey that we're on and see the gifts that can come on the other side. And I think resist some of the lies that our worth is based on what our ovaries and our uterus is able to do. You know, not to be so crass and so blunt, but you know, I think, you know, throughout culture, especially like there's such emphasis on the nuclear family that, you know, be fruitful and the role of women in that. And I think there's just a lot of messages that women have to grapple with when they start to reach perimenopause and they start to reach the menopausal stage. And, you know, especially I think about my sisters in Christ who are on the singleness journey, right? And then they're menopausal and they're past that stage. And I just wonder what might be some correctives for the church to consider offering instead.
Yeah, that's a good question to ask. And it makes me think, you know, even beginning to have these conversations, inviting those conversations is the first step where women might feel supported, not just, oh, we can, you know, we can talk about this a little bit when we forward things to each other on Instagram. But what would it look like if the church actually invited more of that intentional conversation? It's also a very unique season, I think, that we can reconnect with God, but we don't have a lot of pathways for what that might look like. So as a church, maybe we could provide what some of that pathway might look like.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the church has the first of all, let me just say the nuclear family is a gift. And, you know, I'm grateful for my children and my husband. And also, like any gift, it can become idolatrous. It can become a highly destructive God substitute. You know, so a highly destructive God substitute can be something where it is a gift from God. It is a very good thing. But then it begins to be magnified in our life where it's everything, right? And I think the church in some spaces, in some evangelical spaces, the nuclear family has been magnified to a degree that there is a message that unless you are able, as a woman, able to be fruitful and to multiply and to have children, then what's your worth, right? Then what have you contributed to society? And you know, and while that message isn't said explicitly, when we magnify the nuclear family, what we are doing is, number one, we are missing out on the power of the family of God. And number two, we are communicating things to women that they are what they carry in their bodies. They are what they reproduce. They are their sexual organs. And there is no other contribution beyond that. When women contribute so much to the church and to the edification of the church and to the building up of the church and to leading within the church. And so I think that we really need, especially again, like I think about some of my single friends who are incredible kingdom builders, and they are just as effective as a woman who has children within the nuclear family. And so I just think that there could be some correctives for the church by lifting up in Scripture women who were barren, by lifting up in Scripture women who maybe didn't have or weren't part of a nuclear family, or lifting up stories of single women. And I think this is also important because otherwise those who are postmenopausal begin to believe that, well, it's now time for me to be benched. It's now time for me because I'm past that phase and I have nothing else to contribute, and it's time for me to be benched. And so I think there are different pathways that we can think about this.
That's powerful. I love that as us having some imagination of what that could look like. And I do think that we have a lot of examples of women in Scripture. I mean, that would be a wonderful study to look at. I mean, I'm also thinking about Anna and how she was a woman who truly, you know, most of her life was a widow. And so I would say in that kind of single category.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know if she had children.
Yeah, we don't. There's no mention of children, at least in the Luke account. But she's named as a prophetess, as a daughter. And it talks about how she was advanced in years. It talks about how she was waiting for the Messiah and how she spent her time, you know, there in the temple worshiping and fasting and praying. So she's one of those older women where she just has a small part, perhaps, of the story in Scripture, but I think could be a really sweet example to all of us that it doesn't mean that you're benched. It does mean that you could lead the way for other women in the church. And we're all waiting, right? We're all waiting for that ultimate redemption.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. There's so many examples. I love that example of Anna in the temple. She just had such devoted, visible public witness. And I think what is also really cool about that story is she's not invisible, right? Like, that story is lifted up and she has a role. This is not a woman that's on the bench, right? She's just absolutely devoted to seeking God. And, you know, and then and when the moment comes when she finally sees Jesus, she sees that as the ultimate magnification, right? The ultimate thing. And I think that even, you know, for us as women going through perimenopause, we have an opportunity to even still, without being benched, you know, magnify Jesus, who is so much bigger than our stories and what we're going through. And so I think that's really, really powerful. I wonder what if there's just other wisdom in Scripture that helps us think about aging as we enter into this phase of life.
You know, part of this also, I think, is a question of our theology on suffering. And I think part of the reality of the season of life of perimenopause is also, you know, feeling pain and feeling, you know, perhaps a reduction of energy, feeling different things in our body. Sometimes even if there's ailments in our body, that they're magnified in talking to my friends. But I think for me, and this also comes a bit out of my grief journey, my first husband passed away 14 years ago. And so entering into at that time, a time where I was really wrestling with what is my theology of suffering? What do I believe about suffering? And when I go to Scripture, I see example after example of this idea that in this life, we will have trouble. We will suffer. That's the guarantee that we see in Scripture. We don't see a guarantee in Scripture that we are going to be hashtag blessed and, you know, devoid of any suffering. But what Scripture gives us is some examples, some practices of how do we go through suffering. And so part of that is lament. I mean, you named that kind of at the top of our conversation, the feelings, some of that grief, that lament of things changing. I think that when we're in this season, that we need to give ourselves permission to lament. And we see that throughout Scripture, that that's a powerful way that we actually draw closer to the Spirit. So we don't have to run away from that. I think also using it as an opportunity to become more relatable to each other in community, to share vulnerably with each other, that could be a powerful community builder. And I've seen it even with my own little circle of friends. The more that I've been willing to say, hey, this crazy thing is happening in my body. I remember I was sitting in a Bible study circle maybe about a year ago, and I had just mentioned some perimenopause symptoms. And I had a slightly younger woman later come to me and say, I've never even heard that word before. Thank you for sharing that. Wow. And she said, do you have any resources that you can share with me? Because I'm having all these symptoms and no doctors are helping me figure out what to do. And I think it might be what you were talking about, even though I'm younger than you. And I thought, well, I'm not the person to be educating you about your medical health, but it showed me that we're not talking about it enough. And so me even just mentioning the word in our prayer request time opened a door for her to do some research. And indeed, that's what ended up being the path that she was on. And so it's actually brought a lot of freedom and answers to questions that she had.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I think this is absolutely an opportunity even for women who have more visible roles in leadership and in ministry. You know, so I happen to be a pastor of a church, and this is something I'm happy to talk publicly about, right? Because how many women who sit in my pews, not my pews, but the church's pews that I pastor, how many women are going through perimenopause, right? And this is not something I've mentioned in the pulpit before. You know, I've made jokes about being 43 and needing readers and things like that. And but this is something I've talked about, like during women's Bible studies, you know, when it's women in the room. And I think we can just even normalize these symptoms and even like have fun with some of them. And that's why, you know, the influencer that you talked about a moment ago is so great, because there's sometimes just joy in finding humor in some of what we are going through and what's happening in our bodies. And I do think that's something that churches can do differently. And so, you know, I think specifically, you know, women, if you're listening to this podcast and you're going through this, find other women where you can talk about this with to help normalize it. And you may never know how healing it will be for you and how healing it will be for others. I remember the first time I really named it. I was at a conference with two other women and I wasn't feeling great. And we went out to the car and I just spilled. Like I spilled. I went through every single symptoms, and it really just became a friend therapy session. But it was so great because I just felt so seen. And I felt so heard, and I felt so validated, and that is just so healing. And I think we all need those spaces where we can do that.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're seeing and why it's becoming a topic that is growing in its popularity, or, you know, normalizing it, like you said, because women are finding community around these topics. And so what a great opportunity for the church to actually step in and be a part of those conversations, or even to lead those conversations to provide space for women. That would be, you know, such a beautiful way that we could build community within our diversity.
Absolutely. There's so many support groups out there. You know, our church, like, we have them all. Like, we have Alcoholics Anonymous, we have divorce care, we have grief groups, we have dementia care groups, we have mixed and blended family groups. Why not a perimenopause group of women that come together and pray together and, you know, lament together and feel seen together?
And be in our brain fog together.
Exactly. Is there anything else, Dorina, that comes to mind for you that if you could change how the church sees or addresses perimenopause or menopause?
Well, I love what you already were suggesting, that we who are leaders, that we would go first. And so why do we keep it out of the Sunday sermon? You know, like, we could ask ourselves those questions if you're getting a chance to preach on a Sunday, perhaps, or at a conference, or even if you're part of decision making behind the scenes, why not suggest that?
Yeah. I mentioned it 2 weeks ago. I was speaking at a women's conference at a church, and I named it on the platform. But like, there's something about being in a room full of women where I'm like, I'm going to say it.
For sure. I love that. And I mean, you're challenging me. I'm learning from you too, as I'm thinking about, you know, a lot of my life is as a writer and as a speaker. So I think for me to use my platform as a writer to share more vulnerably about, you know, some of my own symptoms or some of the things that I have struggled with emotionally, mentally as a result, it could be a doorway that we could open for others. And even pointing back to some of these examples in the scripture, like you and I were talking about.
So in closing, let's give some shout out to women whose voice needs to be heard. I want to lift up Dawn Jackson. Dawn Jackson is a pastor at One Hope Church in Southern California. She has an incredible platform and teaching pastor. And this is something she's also a coach. And this is something that she has helped me through quite a bit in coaching me through some of this and offering resources. And she is just an absolute brilliant woman that more need to listen to. How about you?
I love that. I'm going to look for her. You know, I'm going to mention a resource that is not specifically about perimenopause and menopause, but has had a great influence on my life just in kind of the middle years. A podcast I listen to is called Our Time to Rise, and the hosts or hostesses of it is Krista Gilbert and Alex Kirkendall. They're both friends of mine. I've helped with some women's retreats that they've hosted. But what I love is that their podcast really centers around many of these issues that women who are in midlife are walking through, whether that's caring for aging parents or raising young adults or some of these things that are happening within our bodies. And I think they are starting some unique and really helpful and practical conversations. So I just want to send a little shout out to them and point our listeners to their podcast as well.
Well, this has been a fruitful conversation, and I hope that others feel blessed and seen and heard throughout this. And so, friends, we are so thankful that you listened to Hear Women for this special episode on perimenopause and menopause.
Yes, so good to talk with you, Tara Beth, and I hope we have some holy imagination around some of these topics
and
we can encourage each other as well.
Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Hear Women. We pray that you are encouraged, challenged, and inspired as a result of this conversation. Thank you for joining us as we listen to women for the good of the church.
Hear Women is a production of InterVarsity Press. For more information on any IVP titles mentioned in this episode, visit ivpress.com and use the promo code in the show notes for a special discount. Sound engineering by Honest Podcasts. Our producers are Christine Policio Mello, Helen Lee, and Travis Albritton. Our research assistants are Abby Lee and Jasmine Rose, and we're your hosts, Darina Lazo Gilmore-Young, Tara Beth Leach, and Nijay Gupta.
Be sure to subscribe to Hear Women on your favorite podcast platform or the IVP YouTube channel, and please leave a rating and review to support the show.